It is my privilege today to come and talk to you. I am not preaching, I'm speaking to you today. So just to be clear, could we all stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 1, the first six verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. I pray you would just open our ears and hear the words you want us to hear today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, before I start talking about what God is trying to teach us through the first six verses of Joshua, what I'm going to be talking about is a new day in the life of a McHenry Evangelical Free Church. So I want to introduce two people to you. One would be our brand new pastor, Pastor Josh. And the other is our new elder, Jason Keith. Good timing. So, okay. Aaron? Okay. Okay, when we look at these verses, God is doing two things to Joshua. The first is that he's giving him a commission, and the second is that he's making promises to him to help him fulfill that commission. As Joshua was learning, is that leaders do not lead forever, even godly ones like Moses. There comes a time in every church, every ministry, that leaders die or they retire, and we need new leadership. And that was the time for the nation of Israel, and it is also the time for this church. Except for Joshua and Caleb, every single Israelite that had started the trip when they left Egypt is now dead. They have a whole new generation of people. And if we look around here, I see, especially over here, a whole new generation of people. It is wonderful. As I look out here, it's just really wonderful to see the mix of young and medium and old. And this is a great church. I really appreciate this church. So, but in the life of Joshua, God is leading Joshua to do something brand new. Just think what Joshua was facing. Here, Moses, the only leader that Israel had ever known. They had been slaves before, slaves for 400 years. Moses was the one who led them out of Egypt. So what kind of guy was this Moses anyway? Again, like I just said, Moses led them out of Egypt. If you from Exodus chapter 3, all the rest of the way through Exodus and all of Deuteronomy talk about Moses and all the things that he had done, the ministries that he had performed. Moses talked face to face with God. Moses brought the law to the Israelites. Moses had been everything. He had never, ever known any other leader besides Moses, and now Moses was dead. And so here is Joshua stepping up to do the leadership. So what did Joshua have going for him that he could lead the nation of Israel? Well, he was born a slave, just like all the other Israelites, not the ones that in the wilderness, but the Israelites that had come out of Egypt, they were all born slaves. So he was born a slave. The first mention of Joshua in the Bible is Exodus chapter 17, where he led some Israelites to fight the Amalekites when they attacked Israel about 2 months after leading Egypt. So he was also a soldier. He was also a servant. If we look in Exodus chapter 24, Joshua is called Moses' servant. He was basically his aide, his gopher, his assistant, maybe leader in training this whole time. And finally, Joshua was a spy. When the Israelites left Egypt, their goal was to receive the law and then go and get their inheritance in the promised land. So they went to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land, and then they were supposed to take ownership of the land. Well, as we know, they did not do that. And because of their failure at that time, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, those 40 years are over, Moses is dead, and Joshua is the new leader to lead them into the promised land. Let's think what Joshua had going for him at this time. They were supposed to go in and conquer the new land. They were not a nation of soldiers. They had no standing army. What have they been doing for the last 40 years? Wandering around the wilderness. So they were not militarily prepared to go take the land. But God is telling them to do this. Because Joshua knew that God is asking him to do something that he could not do on his own, God gave him three special promises for each of the three things that he asked him to do. He told him to go claim the land, cross the river, and go claim the land, and he would help them do that. He told them that he would defeat the enemy and that he would apportion the land to each of the Israelites for their inheritance. He did not explain to Joshua how he was going to do this. He just told him to go do it and that he would be with him. So his first promise in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he promised Joshua that he would be able to cross the Jordan and enter the land. Okay, remember at this time the Jordan is flowing, overflowing its banks. It's at flood stage. First of all, they had to get across the Jordan, and God provided them a way to do that. Then once they crossed the Jordan, they had to conquer all of the land, and God told them in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Third, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, God promised him that he would divide the land as inheritance and that he would assure him that no enemy would be able to defeat him and that the things that God asked him to do, that he would be able to do. So before God fulfilled his promise, however, what did Joshua have to do? Sit there on that side of the Jordan and wait for God to take care of all of this? No, he had to muster the whole nation of Israel, cross the Jordan, and take the land as God asked him to do. So he had to step out on faith. He had to be strong and have good courage and do the things that God asked him to do. The rest of the book of Joshua talks about how all these things were fulfilled. If you go back and read Joshua, you'll see that they crossed the Jordan, they conquered the land, and they split the land up as an inheritance. So at the very end of Joshua's life, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, he says, "Not one thing has failed all the good things which the Lord your God spoke to you concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one word of them has failed." Well, it took the rest of Joshua's lifetime for these promises to be fulfilled, but every one of them were fulfilled. So you might be wondering, okay, that's good for Joshua, but what does that have to do with us? Well, I'm hoping you're catching some parallels here. That new leadership, new direction for the nation of Israel. New leadership. I'm pointing to Josh and not Aaron, by the way. So there's new leadership in this church. So God has given us new leadership. He has a commission for us, just like he had a commission. We do know about the Great Commission. If we look to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" So that's our Great Commission. How about us at this church? Do we have any kind of commission? Does everybody have a bulletin? If you open up your bulletin, You will see our mission statement on there in the little folded part on the right. It's there every single week. And our mission statement says, the EFC of McHenry exists to make fully committed followers of Christ, of Jesus Christ. So that is our local mission statement. So if we look back over the last 14 years that Cal was pastor here, what have we done to help us fulfill that mission statement? Well, what does it mean to be a fully committed follower of Christ? Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. That's probably a few sermons in and of itself. And again, I'm not preaching, I'm speaking today, right? So if we look back, one of the things that we might say is a fully committed follower of Christ is that Christians should pray. Christians should pray personally and corporately. In case you don't know, every Monday night we have an opportunity to pray corporately from 7 to 8 at this church. If you want further details on this, you can talk to Linda about that. So there's opportunities to pray, but you should be praying privately too. What else might it be to be a fully committed follower of Christ? Well, again, there's lots of things, but one might be studying God's Word. Again, you should be doing that privately, but we have lots of opportunities to do that corporately. We do have a woman's Bible study. We have a men's Bible study. We have a young men's Bible study. We have the youth group that meets every Thursday. We have a senior seekers that meets sporadically. I'm not sure exactly on how often they meet. We have two other small groups that meet in people's homes. We have an adult Sunday school class that meets every Sunday morning. And for the kids, we have adult Sunday school on Sunday mornings, we have Kids Town on Sunday mornings, and we have Awana on Wednesdays. You know, if you look around and see how many people are here and all of those ministries, you know, I'm pretty amazed that this church is doing all that it's doing. So we have I believe, not that we've perfectly fulfilled our commission to make fully committed followers of Jesus Christ, but every one of us has an opportunity to pursue that if we so desire. So we have this great commission, we have our local commission, and we still have the promises of God. God gave Joshua specific promises for the three specific things that he asked Joshua to do. Well, how many know that we have promises from God? We have lots of promises from God. And again, I'm not going to exhaust them in any way, shape, or form, but I'm going to just read a few of the promises that we have from God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What a promise for each and every one of us, if we give our lives to Jesus, that he has promised us eternal life. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." We have the promise through God's help that we do not have to participate in the corruption that the world has to offer. Matthew 11:28 through 29 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How many people would like to have rest for their souls? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." And finally, just one more. Not all of God's promises, just one more I'm going to read. John 14:27 says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid." So if you just go out and Google promises of God, you're going to find lots. Internet is really a great tool, also a bad place too. But anyway, it's a great tool if you so desire. So in the last 7.5 months, we've been without a pastor. It's been a time of transition in the church. You've seen lots of different men get up here, Some of them preach, some of them just speak. But, you know, Pastor Cal retired at the end of July, but we have not been stagnant in that time. God has been bringing messages to us every week. And if we had no more messages at all, not that I'm asking you, Josh, not to give us messages in the future, but if we had no more messages at all, and we just did the things that God's told us to do in the last 7.5 months, what kind of person would I be? What kind of people would we be? So this last week, I took a day off to help prepare for what I'm doing now. And I just went back and listened to some of these messages. And first of all, I want to thank the people in the sound group, what do you call them? Tech team, that they record these messages every week and then Phyllis posts them. You can go to our internet site and you can listen to all the sermons that have been given here for the last few years. It's a marvelous tool. It's really neat. But anyway, I'm just going to read some titles to some sermons that we've had. And I'm going to group them into two different categories. The first category is, who is God and what has he done for us? And some of the titles of those are The Love of God, Currency of Atonement, The Great Authority of Our Lord, God, Fearsome and Awesome, Fearsome and Loving. And then the other group of types of sermons I'm going to be, How Should We Live? What Should Our Attitude Be Like? And some of these sermons are Key to a Healthy Heart, which we had last week. Thanks, Josh, for A Nation of Grumblers. What do we do when things don't go right? Choices we make. A Sinner's Prayer. What is an evangelical Christian? What is prayer? The Parable of the Good Muslim Terrorists. One of my favorites. You should go back and listen to that. There were 3 sermons on marriage. There's a sermon on how to Grinch-proof Christmas, one on a life of thanksgiving, and one on the storms of God. We've had a really neat opportunity these last 7.5 months to hear from a lot of different people who are bringing us God's word. But from now on, we're going to be hearing primarily from just one person, our new pastor. So I encourage you all to go back and listen to these messages, but I encourage you also to come on future Sundays and listen to the messages we'll have in the future. However, our time of transition is over. What might we expect? What might we expect, Josh? Okay. So I'm going to guess that one thing we might expect is change. Churches can hinder their growth by clinging to the past and trying to escape the future. We have a new pastor, and we should expect some changes. Pastor Josh, is that how you want us to recall you as Pastor Josh? Okay, Pastor Josh, he's not the same person Pastor Cal was. He has a different personality, in case you've noticed. He has different gifts than Pastor Cal had, and I imagine he will have a different leadership style than Pastor Cal had. Such was also the case with Joshua. Joshua was called to be a new leader in the nation of Israel and to assume this significant role of them going from wandering in the wilderness to taking over the promised land. He had the privilege of knowing Moses, knowing all the great things that Moses did, but he was a different man for a different time. I would not be surprised if Joshua, not our Joshua, but Joshua, had some really misgivings about taking over this role as leader of Israel. Just try to imagine that Moses, this great leader, is dead. Now God comes to you and say, okay, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Cross the Jordan, take over the promised land. Okay. Pretty big shoes to fill and pretty big things that he had to accomplish. It would have been hard for him just to say, okay, I'm going to go do this. If he didn't have promises from God that God would be with them every step of the way, again, he promised them that he would never leave him or forsake him. Well, how about us today? Are we willing to take action, to do something challenging, maybe even unsettling? Are we thinking that that is going to be Josh's responsibility for him to do new things? Are we ready to step up and do the things that God is asking us to do? All persons of faith have been tasked to complete things that God wants us to do, but all persons of faith, us, have given the promises that God will help us. Joshua was tasked not only to cross the Jordan River, but he's also tasked to enter the promised land, which is totally uncharted territories. Now, I don't know where this church is headed, but we might be headed into uncharted territories. Are we willing to follow God in doing the things that he wants us to do? Not only did Joshua have to have the faith to venture out on this endeavor, he had to have also the solid assurances from God. God gives him something else that maybe we all need from time to time. In verse 1:6, he said, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give their forefathers before them." So I'm saying that to you, Josh. Be strong and courageous. Okay, so here Joshua is a new leader for a new time, tasked with this great responsibility. But he's also been given these assurances from God. Okay, where are we headed as a church? We're not called to be doing the things we've done in the past. We're called to be obedient to God to do the things he's calling us to do now. So let's be thankful that regardless of any obstacles that are put in front of us, God has promised us to help us overcome those obstacles. With each new day, there will be new challenges. Each day is a day of opportunity. Some days are more significant than others, so sometimes my days seem very repetitious. I go to work, seem to do the same thing. But each day is a day that God has given us. So let's pursue those things with God's help. So I just have a few words for Josh. A wise leader doesn't completely abandon the past, but he builds on it as he moves towards the future. Moses is mentioned 57 times in the book of Joshua, evidence that Joshua respected Moses and what he had done for Israel. Joshua worshiped the same God as Moses. He obeyed the same word that Moses had brought to the nation of Israel. There was a continuity from one leader to the next, but there was not conformity. And I imagine there will not be conformity. Each leader is different and must maintain their own individuality. God is still speaking in our leaders today. And it's the leader's responsibility to realize that just as God was with Moses and people before him, God is going to be with you, Josh. And just as God said to Joshua that he'd never leave him or forsake him, God will never leave you or forsake you, Josh. And that goes for the rest of us too. Well, how about us? What responsibility do we have? Well, we have lots of responsibilities, but I'm just going to name a few. We're called to respect and support and pray for our new pastor and our new elder. Josh is not Pastor Cal. He is Pastor Josh. He is God's chosen leader for our church today. This is a new time and a new day for the Church of Evangelical Free Church of McHenry. And I'm happy to be part of it, and I'm happy to be part of it with all of you. So thank you for your time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. It is exciting to be at a time of transition in a church where we go from the leadership of Pastor Cal for 14 wonderful years to the leadership with Pastor Josh. I pray for him, pray for his family, each day of his life, Lord, that you would lead and guide him. And I pray for us as a church that we would be the people you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, and we know this is all about you and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.